May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One evening in the Royal Festival Hall in the South Bank, the London Philharmonic Orchestra are practicing for a Beethoven concert, which includes Beethoven's Ninth. The rehearsal is going very badly. There's disharmony in the orchestra. The four sections, the woodwind, the brass, the strings, the percussion, all vying for attention, competing with each other, and it's disrupting the music. The conductor stops them in their tracks, taps the lectern with his baton, and calls them to order. Stop your petty fighting. Get rid of your competition, your divisive behavior. This is about Beethoven and his music. Put Beethoven and his music first. That's the role of the conductor, to call the orchestra back to their purpose, to make them focus on the music and the composer. It is the role of the church to call the world back to its purpose and its focus, to call the world back to Christ and Christ's music, to put Christ and Christ's music first. How do we do that as a church? Both of our readings today are instructive for us. Let's start with the first reading from Hebrews. It speaks of Abraham as a man of faith. Abraham is called by God to go to a distant country he knows not where. God says to him, "Through you, many nations will be blessed. The whole world will be blessed." He sets out on his journey and he arrives in the land of Canaan. But there he pitches his tent. This is the promised land, but he'll be there currently as a stranger and a foreigner, hoping for the homeland sometime, but it's not for now. Here he is a stranger and a foreigner, longing for his homeland. The people he is to form are to be distinctive. They are to represent God to the world, to show God's character, the way God wants us to live to the world, to represent God. They are to be distinctive. We are called to be distinctive as Christians. We find out what it means to be distinctive by looking at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 through to chapter 7. Jesus summons us to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We are to be distinctive by the love that we share with each other, the love that we have for one another. And we glimpse that love in the service of Holy Communion. We glimpse it when we come forward to receive at the altar rail. We kneel down together, close to each other, and in the Father's presence. This is what it means to be distinctive, to be surrounded and embraced by God's love, a love that includes everyone around the world, even our enemies, a love that's all-embracing. We are called to be distinctive. Michelle Obama, when she was instructing her children about how to cope with racism and cruel words and bullies, said, when they go low, we go high. She summoned them to be distinctive. Now they responded to those who were their enemies. We are called to have a love that's all-embracing, to be distinctive. And we've glimpsed that in Holy Communion. We are to be characterized by an all-embracing, inclusive love. Second, we are to embrace Christ's mind, Christ's character, which is one of service and humble self-giving. If we look at our second reading, there's a bit of a shock in it. Those who are waiting for the master to return from the banquet are told to be alert, to be ready, whatever time the master returns, whether at midnight or at dawn, that is, stay awake, to be alert, ready to serve. But when they come back, they find that the master finds them ready, and then he serves. He hitches up his robes, tucks in his belt, and he serves them. We see that this characteristic of God, that he's come to serve, is deep. It's part of his character. He always comes to serve us, humbly, in self-giving love. We find that he is the one who comes to serve. When we recently did the trip from Mizenhead to Malinhead on our bikes, with 7 days of riding, 508 miles, we stayed at various bed and breakfasts. And perhaps the highlight of the bed and breakfast was the one in Derry, or Londonderry, the city by those two names. Ursula was the landlady, and there was nothing she couldn't do to serve us. When we first arrived, a very warm welcome, a nice cup of tea and a bit of cake. She told us about the city, what we could see, where we could eat. And the following day, we had a very hearty breakfast. If anybody wanted an extra sausage or an egg, that was fine. She knew how to serve. She was a humble servant. And Jesus' servanthood of us takes him to the cross, even death on a cross. We have a very vivid picture of that before us in church. And when we come forward in Holy Communion and take the bread and the wine, they are symbols of servanthood, that we are committed to serve each other and to serve the world, whatever the cost, wherever that takes us, whatever God asks us to do. Those symbols of bread and wine are symbols of radical discipleship, a commitment to serve God and others, whatever the cost, to go from here to humbly serve. And finally, in our second reading, we hear that we are given the kingdom of God. We are to receive the kingdom of God. If you look at the opening words of our gospel reading, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The kingdom of God is righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. And God's longing for us and the whole of creation is that we're full of the Holy Spirit. Used, suffused, and saturated by the Spirit is God's vision for you and for us together as the church, the body of Christ. Suffused and saturated by the Spirit. That's the vision for God's creation, pervaded and permeated by the Spirit. That's where we're heading when we arrive at God's kingdom. Heaven and earth joined, everything pervaded and permeated by God's Holy Spirit. Part of my sabbatical, I also went to the Brecon Beacons. Who's been to the Brecon Beacons? It's an absolutely beautiful part of the world. Rolling hills, long sweeping vistas. And we went to waterfall country. Little pocket of waterfalls, four or five waterfalls clustered together. You can go from one to the other very easily. We lingered at one particular waterfall, and you could get behind it without getting wet. So we stood behind this waterfall with a curtain of water in front of us. One step forward, and we would have been absolutely drenched. Covered in water, as wet as you could be. And that's a picture of God pouring out his Holy Spirit. God's not reluctant to give us the Spirit. It's just our capacity to receive that's the question. Are we open-handed and open-hearted, ready to receive the Spirit, the kingdom, righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit? If we're going to be people of love that's all-inclusive, if we're going to be people who serve radically in a self-giving, humble way, we're going to need to depend upon the Holy Spirit, God's treasure. Again, we glimpse that in this service, bread and wine. We bring them to the altar. They're suffused and saturated by the Spirit. They become the cup of salvation and the bread of life. Let us be people who serve Christ and serve his music. Let's be people of love. Let's be people of service. Let's be suffused and saturated by God's Spirit. Let's enjoy the righteousness, joy and peace of God's kingdom. We are Christ's orchestra. He is our conductor. Let's play Christ's sweet music for the world, that it may be called back to him and his loving purposes, that everyone everywhere may seek God's justice and peace for all, and recognize the beauty, the truth, and the goodness of Christ. Amen.